Hi, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Teach Style Live Faith. I'm Adrienne Michelle, and today we have the honor of having two guest speakers on the show today. We have Miles and LaVonshe Robinson. This episode is, they're just so real, so honest, so truthful. And so for my singles, for my married couples, this episode is going to encourage you just to live life. Just to have fun. Have fun in your singleness. Have fun in your marriage. And just glorify the Lord and know that God has a plan for your life. God is on the throne and He is orchestrating all the events. So let's go ahead and get into today's episode.
And we back, y'all.
We back.
We back in that.
Yes. Thank y'all so much. So we're back with all three. Here we go. Yes. All right, let's just dive right into it. So we're going to talk about the senior years. So I know y'all told us about, you know, your trifling years during middle school and high school. But when you, before you got married, did you have a actually have a desire to be married? What were your desires then?
Well, I really didn't. Just because, like, well, my first 2 years in college, that's when I was finally introduced to people that talked about marriage in a good light. Mm-hmm. My experience of marriage was pretty bad. So, like, my parents split when I was young. My family members didn't have great marriages at all. They were abusive, emotionally, physically, mentally. So everything I saw was like, I don't want no part in that.
Yeah.
And so I really didn't have a desire to be married until I actually saw men talking about marriage and, like, telling me how they enjoyed it. And they were, like, they could hang out with their wife. I was like, what is that?
Yes.
So that was something that didn't come along to me until later as far as, like, really wanting to be married. So that's for me. As for LaVonshe, tag, you're it.
I can't really say that I had the desire to be married either. And that's because of, I mean, like I said before, like, I was seeking that validation, but then at the same time, I was just like, I keep getting hurt by these people. I don't know if I really want this whole marriage thing. And also because of, like I said before, I'm not really getting that great example of what marriage looked like. I don't really feel like I got a good example, like, constantly of what a great marriage looked like until around the time we were about to get married, to be honest. So as a single, I was just like, I don't really know if I want that, Lord. Mm-hmm. I really don't know, because I'm like, if I can just move forward, like, I'm good by myself without the hurt.
Okay, that's exactly what I was going to ask. So when people say, hey, I didn't want to be married, I was good, do you mean, like, hey, I really just wanted to be me, myself, and I, like Beyonce? Or, like, hey, I just don't want to commit to anything like a marriage. So if I'm hearing you correct, you're saying, hey, I just wanted to be single pretty much by myself. Or I just didn't want, what came with the marriage that, hey, you're about to tell me that you're going to be with me for a lifetime, and then you can go and hurt me and leave me.
Right. Because I was just like, I don't know what that looks like. Like, I saw it was kind of in dating relationship, but I know for a fact that marriage and dating is two different things, because you're living with this person. And honestly, I'm one of those people that gets bored easily. So I'm like, I'm going to be with this one person for the rest of my life, Lord. Like, I don't know if I really want that. I'm good with just dating and, you know, dating different people and seeing the different and building these different relationships with people. But I'm not sure if marriage is what I really want, because, yeah, I get bored easily. I'm not sure if it's going to last. I don't want to have a divorce on my record. That may sound so crazy, but that was one of the things that I was thinking about. It's just, I don't know, I just really wanted to be by myself to avoid the hurt, to avoid anything that could possibly come with marriage. And I was really just comfortable with, you know, just dating and building different relationships, not necessarily that commitment, that covenant relationship of marriage. It just, I don't want to sound like the guys, but it honestly scared me.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's so funny, though, just to hear you say that, even to hear people say that, it's like, we want everything that the marriage brings, except for the commitment, covenant, and title of it. So I still want love. I still want somebody to have fun with. I still want all these things. Just, I don't want to put that name on it.
that title is just, I don't know. It's something about it.
Yes.
It scared me back then.
Yes. But what's good that I hear you say, and I had this conversation with a friend who's like, I don't get what the marriage point is. Like, I can have somebody. We don't have to get married. And he was asking me about that. And he was like, how do you overcome that? And I just said, for me, it would be seeing good examples of marriage. And so I know that everybody doesn't get that opportunity, but the blessing is that twofold. One, your kids are going to get to see this opportunity. And second, y'all get to be that opportunity for other people. And so that's just such a blessing that even though you didn't see it, and that is and could have been the thing to keep you from being married, you still went forward in it, and you will be able to be that example of like, hey, no, it's not easy. It's not a cakewalk, but like, these are the good things about marriage, and this is its purpose. And this is, you know, why I don't have to be afraid of it. I don't know everything about it, but I'm not going to go the opposite way of it just because I've seen bad marriages. There are good marriages.
That's so true. That's so true. And one thing that I've learned is that marriage in itself is not about you per se. It's not, I've learned that it's not about me, but it's about accomplishing the Lord's goal in it. And that is in bringing, like, having children is not so you can have a lookalike, but it's about building up disciples for the Lord.
Come on.
And so initially, it's not about your happiness either. It's about the Lord's purpose. It's about building up his kingdom. And then later on, if happiness comes along with it, you definitely want to be happy, but that should not be the first goal. That's your mind, because it's not about you. It's about his kingdom.
Yes. And I think we have to be kingdom minded too, because so I am one who has a desire to be married. And I had said this from a young age of like, hey, like, one of my desires to be married is because I want to raise up a family of disciples who are going to go and populate this earth and share the gospel and add more people to his kingdom. And I remember being in, it was basically like a seminary, and someone from across the room saying, you only want to get married to have kids. I'm like, well, I do think it's biblical. I don't know what he says up in the beginning. So, yeah, that's not really wrong, you know, but it was just like a complete, like, why is that your goal to being married to have kids? It's like, well, I follow the Lord, and, you know, this is not against anyone who came about it a different way, but God did and does have a plan in how he has called us to populate this earth, and he also has a purpose in why we are populating the earth. So, you know, just to hear you say that, you know, we have the perspective of marriage is about my happiness, marriage, because we have so many people who are, you know, I'm gonna get married, I don't know if I want to have kids, or I'm gonna get married, we're gonna wait about, you know, 5 years so it can just be, you know, me and my spouse. And, you know, there are people who can't have kids, so that's a whole different conversation.
Yeah.
But a lot of the times when we say those things, even some of the things that prevent people from getting married, such as, you know, we're not ready to get married yet, and it's like, why not? Well, my finances, my this, it's like a lot of them are just selfish reasons. Mm-hmm. And if the goal and purpose in marriage is to glorify God and become more like Christ, what are these reasons? They're really just typically selfish, and that's not what marriage is about.
That's true.
All right. Let's see. What during your single years, what were some of the things you did during your single years? And so we've already discussed a lot about how, you know, you were working on just your relationship with the Lord and growing in that. But you even said also like investing in younger people and seeking mentors. But were there some other things that you just did during your single years that you would want to make sure that singles now did, and that, you know, you are not as able to do now that you're married?
Really just this way. You know, you got the whole, I'm glad you prefaced it with that, with the pouring into other women and different things like that and seeking a relationship with the Lord. But honestly, I just enjoyed myself. Like, I'm one of those that I can go to the movies by myself and just be completely fine. Like, I feel like you have to be okay with who you are before mm-hmm. going into a marriage, because it's so easy once you get married to just lose yourself. So I would do things like go out with girlfriends that I had built relationships with, not necessarily going on dates with other guys, but just like going out with friends that I had, going to see movies, going to even exercise class, like just going to really enjoy myself and who I am and getting to know who I am in Christ. Honestly, that was one of the big things I feel like before going into marriage that I had to do, just enjoying being single. Like, because guaranteed mm-hmm. the Lord wants you to get married, that's gonna come, but also you don't want to make that, like, it's a great desire to want to be married, I think, and I don't think there's anything wrong with that, and the Lord definitely gives us those desires, but you don't make that your focus, your driving force. Like, enjoy being single. Go out and do what you want to do. Of course, you want it to be in alignment and glorifying God also, but go out and enjoy yourself. Enjoy your singleness, because on the other side of marriage, there's a lot of different responsibility. Like, now, because I am obligated to my husband and I have children, I can't really just go out whenever I please. I have to make sure I have a babysitter set. I have to make sure Miles is, you know, taken care of, and I'm taking care of my wifely duties. Before that, I didn't have all this stuff. So if I wanted to just take a trip to Austin or something, I could do that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm just like, enjoy that time, because once you really just have to get to know yourself and grow in who you are as a person before introducing that whole other dynamic of bringing a man into the situation or a woman and then children. Like, that's a whole different responsibility in itself.
That's so good. What about you, Miles, from a guy's perspective?
Just if you're single, I mean, really learning what it is to be a man. Like,
ooh, that can preach twice.
Right. Biblical biblical womanhood.
I mean, so many men now have been babied. So many men, you know, can just be reckless and there's no consequences for it. And so if you're going to be a man and be single, learn how to be responsible for your actions. You know, too many trying to find scapegoats for their actions and things like that. And so instead of, you know, trying to hide whenever you're being found out about or you've done something, you just have to really take responsibility for everything. Like, if you're victorious, you're victorious. If you mess up, you own that too. And so for me, it took a lot of, you know, when I messed up on stuff, learning to apologize to people, whether they needed to hear it or not, that was part of what I needed to do. So it's just a whole lot of really, what is it to be a man in God's sight and not to honestly water yourself down and be what the world tells you to be, because that's, you know, that's the typical player. That's the typical, you know, I'm reckless. I'll do whatever I want. I can live any kind of way, and that's not how it's supposed to be. So I would just say, like, that was one of the biggest things that I'm glad I found out more about moving towards getting married, but I was still single at that time.
That's really good. That's real good. Especially, I mean, even you're just saying, like, apologizing, even if they didn't need to hear it, like, that's, you know, our vertical relationship and our horizontal. Like, me apologizing, yes, I'm apologizing, you know, to make our relationship better, but first God calls me to own up to those things. And so I'm working on being the person, the man, the woman God has called me to be, not just what society says I should be. Good. My other question is, I'm going to actually skip one and then come back, but you said that hanging out with girlfriends, but just hanging out with friends in general. So some of the things that my friends and I have discussed is that the church is really good at teaching us how to be a husband or how to be a wife, but not necessarily on how to date or how to just be friends with the opposite sex. So what did friendships with the opposite sex look like while you were single and dating, and how do they look like now that you're married?
Well, I would say that while you're single, you should be able to get a lot of insight on the opposite sex perspective on things, because of course, if you're a man, you can't think like a woman. Even though we got, you know, when there was a whole movie thing going out about act like a woman, think like a man, or whatever that thing was.
Think like a man.
Yeah. And so it's like, you really can't do that because you don't know what it is to be the other sex. And so I think that while you're single, you find yourself learning a lot about what are other people's views. And because they're friends of yours, you find out really where they stand and things like that. When you're married, you still need friends.
Amen.
A lot of one thing that churches don't do a good job of is that we do a lot of separating everyone. And sometimes you need to just be able to talk to somebody that might be of the opposite sex, but they're trusted. Not that you're going to, you know, do something to pursue a relationship with that person or step out on your spouse. But you might just need to see like, hey, this is something I'm looking at doing for my wife. What do you think about that? As a woman, you know, things like that are a lot of times missing. So I truly feel like we have to really just learn that you need friendships in both regards. It's the way that you go about it that changes. Because in marriage, you, of course, you shouldn't just be talking to a woman. For me as a man, I shouldn't just be talking to a woman at, you know, 1 a.m. Because that's just not good for my respect factor for my wife. Now, of course, while I was single, I could do that. I didn't have to answer to anybody else, but that was my obligation.
Yes.
So I think that is a big difference in, and we can still hang out with friends. You know, we can still hang out in groups of, you know, other sexes and everything like that. But it's literally just a matter of what are the boundaries that you have set, because you have to guard your relationship. And a lot of times we don't do that. We don't guard our hearts when we're single. And so we find ourselves getting led on or doing different things because we just thought it was all fun and games until we realized, like, man, this is for real.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned boundaries. What would be some boundaries there? Because even so, like, single and dating, but even now that you're married, you know, I heard you say that y'all still have friendships, you know, hang out with friends, but I don't know. Is it common that, hey, you know, you're just sitting up having lunch with, you know, a girlfriend, or LaVonja's just kicking it with one of her guy friends? Like, what did your boundaries look like before marriage and now after marriage? And I heard you say it's about respecting your spouse. Like, that's a big issue. Your boundaries that you and LaVonja have may not be the same boundaries that another couple has based on who y'all are.
Yeah. And, you know, it's not a cookie cutter thing. Like, everybody's going to be their own, have their own way they can handle it. Like, for us, it's really just about communication. Like, so I'm in grad school right now, and so I've had to conduct interviews with different people. So it might be like, hey, I have to go meet up with such and such. But she knows. It's not like I'm hiding something, or, you know, because that's when it just looks bad. And so you want to guard the sanctity of your marriage, because when I was single, I could just go out and do whatever, whenever, however. Like, there was nothing, you know, I wasn't going to have to be like, well, somebody's going to come to me, well, why'd you go out with such and such? Like, because I'm a grown man, you know, that's what I would be like then. But, you know, now it's more like, there's a purpose behind this. I don't just go around willy-nilly and just doing whatever. Like, there are people that, you know, I have friends of the opposite sex that ask me about marriage. And so if that's the case, like, but I tell LaVonja about what we've talked about, it's nothing that's off limits as far as, you know, what I'm dealing with somebody of the opposite sex. It's always, this is what's happening, you know, because I respect my wife.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes, like, with certain women, if they are really just trying to have conversation with him, sometimes he'll direct them to me, and I'll do the same thing with the males. I'll direct them to to my house so that they can talk to him. But if it's like, let's say, sometimes we'll meet with them together too, because we have a lot of mutual friends, because, you know, we did go to high school and stuff together. And so I guess that's where it would kind of differ with other couples as far as that cookie cutter thing, because a lot of our friends we both know and we have, you know, mutual relationships with. But even with that, if it's a male, sometimes I'll direct them to him, and if it's a woman, sometimes he'll direct the woman to me. But like, also, like Miles said, it's the whole communication thing. We try to keep everything like upfront and uncovered, because that's where a lot of the issues arise too.
Mm-hmm. Communication is a big aspect, yes, in marriage. What about when you were single? Did you single, and because, you know, you're actually single until you're married. Everyone's single until they're married. But were there some, as you were growing, which will kind of lead into the next question about just your different struggles, but while you were single, were there some boundaries that you had? You know, I have a friend who, he doesn't ride in the car alone with a girl. Like, he's like, I don't, because he doesn't want the perception of it, and different things of that sort. So, you know, and we have freedom in Christ. So what did that look like for you? Were there, or for both of you, were there, you know, just certain things for you that you found were good boundaries to have, good boundaries that you had as a single that have now been very instrumental in your marriage now? Or was it, I'm single, I'm gonna live life, and, you know, whatever.
Honestly, for me, it was the I'm single and I'm just gonna live life, personally. I mean, as far as the opposite sex was concerned, I did my best to try not to stay out too late or just be like one-on-one with another guy. But if I was out like with a group of friends, then I'm just, you know, I'm just gonna live my life. I'm just gonna be free. The Lord knows my heart kind of situation, but I tried not to involve myself just like one-on-one with another guy after a certain hour per se. But I feel like that just leads to all kinds of craziness.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's kind of where I was.
Okay. What about you, Miles?
Oh, I was just doing me. When I was single, like, man, shoot, I did not care. And it wasn't like I was being reckless or anything, but, you know, it's like, if somebody hit you up and was like, hey, let's go hang out, like, especially in college, it was like, cool, shoot, whatever. Like, so I didn't necessarily have boundaries, but I didn't know that I needed to. I think that looking back on things now, I probably engaged some people that I shouldn't have engaged. Talked to people in a roundabout way. I was terrible at communicating, and that was something that trickled in towards marriage, because I just didn't know that you were supposed to talk about stuff. So honestly, I would say that, you know, when I was single, I was living. Like, every day was, you know, I was going to have a blast. That's the kind of person I am. I was going to enjoy it. And, you know, I wasn't going to think about any kind of consequences. And so, yeah, that was just me. I mean, I still enjoy life to the fullest, but it's more like I actually think about my responsibilities and what all I need to take care of on a daily basis.
Yeah. All right. So, comment from y'all, what I get. Y'all are kind of y'all swing the other side of, look, hey, have fun.
Yeah.
And pretty much, like, you know what you shouldn't be doing. Don't do it. Otherwise, exactly. Have fun. Exactly. All right. Now let's talk about, were there any, if you feel like sharing, like, struggles that you had during your single years? I know, LaVonsha, you said just struggling with receiving validation from man, like finding your worth and validation in man. Were there other things that were just struggles being a single?
Well, I don't know. For me, I dealt with a lot of guys that were, and I can't put this on all guys being that way, but a lot of the guys that I dated and talked to, it's like
sex was their focus.
Girl, I feel and you.
Trying to, and I, by the grace of God, was able to stay a virgin until I got married, which was at 25. But
thanks God.
That struggle was serious.
It was real. It was real.
All guys, Christian guys, like, did you have a split between where you were dating, like, you know, just worldly guys, and then you actually was dating a Christian guy, and it was like, you just the same as all these other guys.
Yeah. I feel like a lot of the guys that I dated said that they were Christian just to kind of open that door. But then once we got to dating, it was just like, your walk is not lining up. But then, you know, being that girl that was trying to seek validation, I was just like, okay, maybe I can change them. Maybe I can. And that just ended up in disaster. But I would say I had a lot of like sexual struggles because I was just like, well, if I go ahead and maybe do this, then will that keep them there?
Yeah. But then
when it came to it, it was just like, I just can't, because honestly, the conviction that I felt like if I did this before marriage, then I just wouldn't feel right. I just had some serious convictions about that. But I dealt a lot with sex, because a lot of the guys were just like, they would do anything that they possibly could to get that. And I just wasn't having it. And so I had to fight a lot against that personally.
Yeah. And that is a struggle with a lot of my friends. It's like, man, you know, also that is a tell of their walk. I think you said this in the beginning of like, people will show you who they are. Just, you can date a guy and he can say he's a Christian. It's like, man, he's so great. I have so much fun. But it's like, somewhere you stopped reading the same Bible I was reading.
Exactly.
I don't know where this, you know, part of scripture left you, but it was very clear for me. But then you have to deal with that of, hey, I have to deal with the God, like, I know I'm good enough, but maybe like this will be the thing that seals it. Well, is it that big a deal? Well, if he is, like, all these thoughts that are just going through your head that are like, God was very clear in that area, and it shouldn't be all this.
Say that I was even perfect in it. I mean, yeah, I made it without the whole, I guess, intercourse aspect of the sex, but like, it would lead to the point, like, we would do the whole kissing and all of that stuff, but it just never led to the actual, you know, intercourse or whatever. But I would kind of push the limits to see how far I could go without that happening with the guy. And so, like I said, I wasn't perfect in it. By the grace of God, I was definitely able to make it to 25 and be married before everything took place. But yeah, it was definitely a struggle, because I was just like, okay, Lord, I hear you over here saying this, but as far as I can go, me, but it's still the same thing, being honest.
Mm-hmm.
That was definitely a huge struggle of mine, is sex, basically.
Yeah. Yeah, and when people think also that just because you haven't had sex doesn't mean you struggle with sex. Right. Like, that was something that the Lord was kind of teaching me this year. I was like, hey, do I want to be married because I want to be married for you? Or do I just want to be married so I can have sex? And if I want to be married just so I can have sex, that is still making an idol of sex, even if I'm not having sex. You know, and I think sometimes it may be the teaching, and sometimes that is our flesh, but, you know, we teach about virginity, not purity, and that deals with our mind, our body, and our thoughts. So, like, what would make me want to see how close I can get? That has to deal with my identity and what I know about the Lord, you know, just like none of us are perfect. So just like you're saying, when we get into those, let me see how close I can get, it's because one part is like, hey, I am just being disobedient. I want to know what this feels like, and I want to experience it. But on the other end, it's, hey, like, maybe this will keep me in his graces longer if I go a little bit more. And that deals with my worth and identity. Hey, if if he can't accept that this is who I am, this is what I believe, and above all, this is what God is calling me to, so you're really not rejecting me, you're rejecting the Lord. If you can't do that, I need to be able to say bye to you and know that it's not you. But it's so much harder in the moment to have all that come to mind than it is in retrospect of like, you weren't it.
Right, and that was one of the things that let me know that gave me peace about Miles, because during our entire 3 years of dating, like, that purity was there. And I was just like, wait a minute, Lord. Like, really? That's why you had me take that whole year to really just focus in on you, because, like, the desire for it was not there for me. And I was just, really, my perspective, like I told you, had changed. But, like, he was not pushing the issue either. And that gave me so much confirmation in that, just seeing that he really just was pursuing my heart and wanted to know and wanted to build and have a relationship with me, not because what he felt like he could get, but he was also thinking about, like, how I could benefit from just us being in a relationship together, but also how he was leading me to Christ and, like, leading me in that direction even while we were dating, before we got married. So, like, seeing that example then really confirmed a lot of things for me when thinking about marriage.
Yes, that's so good. That's so good. I just had a conversation with a girl the other day and saying, hey, like, he should be just as concerned, if not more, about your purity than you are.
And that's something that I noticed about Miles earlier on that really confirmed and gave me peace about a lot of different things, because I didn't experience that in any other relationship before him. I can say that.
Right? All right. Way to go, Miles. What about you?
Whoa, whoa. Struggle-wise, I mean, it's just like anything, like, everybody's talking about sex and everything, because, like, I had my times where I was, like, really, really close, and I was able to make it through to where he got married, so that was a blessing. But also, because of my knowledge base when it came to sex too, I had a tainted view of sex. So playing basketball, you know, guys are always looking at stuff they have no business looking at, talking about things they shouldn't be talking about. So all the conversations about sex and you know, pornography and everything like that. So I got into all that, and it was super unhealthy. So that, you know, those things are a big struggle. And then not knowing how to frame my reference for sex too, was a big thing. So because what I knew was pornography and things like that, trying to fight against those things coming into marriage was, you know, it was difficult, because this is the view that you have, and then seeing what it's supposed to be. And then you find yourself trying to compare, you know, whether it's your spouse or something you've seen or different things like that, because we're all visual creatures. A lot of times people try to play it like it's just men, but women are visual just as well. So, you know, those are all things that we find ourselves struggling with. And then, you know, you come together in marriage and it's like, okay, we have to actually talk about these things, which can be embarrassing, but that's your partner for the rest of your life. So you have to be able to open up that can and just dive in and really be like, okay, I know this stuff isn't right, but as long as we communicate it, we can actually know that, okay, we have a basis of where to go from here. And I think that's a big part of that. So I ain't going to keep on talking about that, because I was just, you know, I was just living my best life.
Living my best life. Okay. Man, you got to get the rights to add that song to a podcast. So I might just, you know, hum it in the background until I can get some credits. Right? This is good. Okay, so here are the last questions. The misconceptions and then the advice you have. So, granted, both of you were like, hey, we really weren't trying to be married, so this may not apply as much, but were there misconceptions that people had or told you about why you were single, or maybe why Levante wasn't trying to give you the time of day or things like that? And were there just some bad advice that you had from people about what to do in your singleness, or things you did in your singleness that you're like, I would not advise people to do that.
I would not advise anyone that is single to pray against their sexual desires. I would highly advise you not to do that.
Okay, speak on that, because we've had conversations about that. Not you and I, but my friends are like, you know, I'm just praying God will take this desire away. Like, I can't control it. And so talk about that then.
Yeah, so a lot of times, like, people find themselves praying about, you know, praying against the passion and the desire to have sex. Like, that's part of who we are. Like, we're supposed to have that. And then the crazy thing is that God hears our prayers and he will answer that. And so then you find yourself married and you don't have that desire. So that's a scary place to be in. Like, I had to go through that myself, because I went through a really long period of time where I was like, you know, I don't want to be struggling with these desires anymore. Lord, take them away. Not knowing that I'll get married and then be like, oh, crap. He actually took them away. And then, you know, trying to get back to it, you know, that was difficult. So I would say that's one thing to definitely not do, because God does hear our prayers and, you know, he is faithful to answer. So if you're single, please don't do that. As well as just, you know, people trying to make it like marriage is the end all of things. Like, you're not going to have struggles anymore in marriage. Like, that's a huge misconception. Like, if you struggled with, let's say if you had a perverted mind prior to getting married, you getting married is not going to resolve that.
True that.
You know, or that life is better in marriage. Like, some people were better off being single, you know. Because especially, like, yes, the Bible does say it's better to marry than to burn with that passion. But also in doing that, you might be miserable for the rest of your days. And not that, you know, marriage is all about happiness, because it's not. But if you find yourself, literally, you just wanted to have sex with somebody, and then sex might not even be good. And then you're like, I done did all this stuff, and here I go. I'm stuck. And I think that's even why, you know, scripturally, when it talks about being evenly yoked, you know, there's a big difference between two people that never had sex before and then one person having sex before, and then comparing their partners and stuff like that. That's a whole nother battle you have to deal with in marriage. So it's different things that I truly feel like there are a lot of misconceptions about marriage, you know, that it's going to be easy. That's a misconception, that you're going to marry that person and you're always going to be happy with them. Misconception, you know, that you... who you marry, you know, that they're not going to change. That's a misconception. You should be changing every single day. So the person I married 5 years ago, if I'm still married to the exact same person, my marriage is terrible. So all those are misconceptions that I would say are given about marriage, as well as, like, you know, the advice of, you know, definitely pursue holiness, you know, pursue a true relationship with Christ, and that you can stand on your own 2 feet, because once you get married, you know, there are going to be a lot of things that change, and, you know, you're going to get challenged in a lot of ways. And, you know, because marriage is literally you looking at a reflection of yourself every single day and truly showing you how you view Christ every single day. And so it's a difficult thing, and you have to go through some really ugly phases to get to the part where it actually looks good, because your first couple years of marriage are tough, because you're bringing in two people together into one household that have been taught completely different ways, have seen different things, different experiences, and now they're trying to come together. So it's not going to be easy. Actually, your first couple years of marriage are the most difficult. But I look at it like an investment. If you invest money in something, if you take it out too early, you don't receive a, you know, a return on your investment. So you got to keep it in there. And so your first couple years of marriage, if you pull your money out or you pull yourself out of the marriage too quick, you're not going to get that return on your investment, because it hasn't done anything. You haven't gone through the battles yet.
That's good.
One of the major things I think mine was the whole test driving thing. Like, in order, like, for you to go ahead and have sex and stuff before marriage, because you want to see how the person is before you get married and all of that stuff. I don't feel like that is necessarily good advice, because then you end up having all these soul ties and all of that stuff to deal with once you do get married. And then that also introduces other issues once you do get married, if that's the Lord's will for you. And I think also not... I think another piece of bad advice that I got was that you shouldn't tell your spouse everything. Like, there should be some secrets that you keep from him or her. I don't really feel like that was the best advice either, because communication really is key. And if there's secrets, that also introduces a lot of issues in the long run also.
That's good. So learn communication.
Right? Yeah, please. Because communication really is key. Like, that sounds so cliche, but y'all have to be able to communicate beforehand.
And not just once you get into marriage, like before. I have a friend couple who's like, we are proponents of over communicating. Like, babe, I didn't need to know that. But
right. But also, like, have, and this is to all the people that may be thinking about getting married or are heading towards that, have some friends outside of your marriage. Like, you're, it's cool for you and your husband to be like best friends, but you need female friends and accountability partners. I mean, even in singleness, like, have accountability partners that, you know, you can go to and you can talk to, and have that one person, even if it's just one woman for my ladies and for the guys, even if it's just that one guy, like, have accountability partners that's going to keep you in check, and invite them into your dirt, your mess. But let it be somebody that you trust and that you know is going to pray for you and has your best interest at heart. But really, it's important to have those people that can keep you in check and keep you on your walk with the Lord. Because really, the flesh is a serious thing that we're dealing with. And if we don't have those people or those things, then it can be really difficult. And I don't feel like the Lord has us here to walk this journey alone. I feel like he sets people in place to walk with. So really take advantage of that.
That's good. That's so good and true. I know that's one of the things, even for me, of like, hey, I'm over here in Cali. Don't let me just be out here and y'all don't know anything going right on in my life, because I'm about to turn up if right y'all don't.
Look, I understand that.
Yes, I literally said that to my friend the first week here. I said, y'all, I'm wilding out right now. Y'all need to come start asking me questions, because I'm acting a fool.
Right. You have to have those. And I didn't realize how important that was.
If you don't have anyone checking on you, don't have anyone asking you those questions, what's going to keep you from walking down a path you shouldn't? And what's going to stop you? Because now you're listening to the book of me and how I feel, and if I feel this way, I'm gonna do this thing, and no one's here to tell me different. So
exactly.
All right, now since we got to the bad advice, what would be your encouragement or your advice to singles, and especially a lot of people who are listening to this specific series in the podcast, singles who are hopeless and in despair of like, look, I don't even know, I don't want to be married anymore, I'm not going to get married, I don't even care. Like, what would be your advice just to singles in general, but also singles who are in that position right now?
Advice would be, enjoy your singleness. We always look at it like it's a bad thing to be single. That's actually when you're the freest to do the most. So the encouragement would be, like, live in your freedom of being single. There's nothing wrong with being single. It's a beautiful time of life, and it's a chapter that, you know, is necessary, because honestly, you can't build towards marriage if you haven't had a good experience being single. Because some people, they think that just because, you know, marriage seems to be the goal for so many people, like I said earlier, there's so much more to life than just being married. That is what, you know, the illustration of Christ in the church. But you can serve so much easier when it's just you and the Lord. You can get up and go. You can do so much more. And especially as a man, you know, you have obligations in marriage. So that would be my encouragement. Just like, you also know that in due time, like, God has a reason for everything. And your time, it just might not be it. Just because everybody else is doing something, don't get caught up in social media. You know, people can make their marriage look amazing on there, and they're really in shambles. It's a big facade. It's all, you know, for the public to see the good parts. But if social media showed you the bad parts of marriage and things like that, you might not be ready for it. So my encouragement is be enjoy where you're at right now in life, because truly, when it's your time for it, it'll take place. It will happen.
If we strongly believe that God orchestrates our steps, then why not lean on that? Why not understand that if he's the one orchestrating our steps, he knows what's good for us in that season that we're in. And if singleness is the season that you're in, that's where God has you. And if it's time for you to get married, he will lead you to that, and he will bring you that person that you're supposed to be married to, especially if you're walking and you're obeying him. So I completely agree with that. Enjoy your singleness enjoy your singleness while you have it, because if marriage is meant for you, then it will happen. And just think of it as the Lord is preparing you right now in your singleness, if you're supposed to be married, for marriage and for that partner. You have to be whole as a person first before marriage if you're single.
Yeah.
And
people we live in our best life. That's where we at.
Yeah. Yeah. And people, and I would say for singles, definitely know, like, sex is a great thing.
It is.
If it's not used correctly, it can be a detriment to your life. But literally, sex is an amazing thing. It's the most intimate part of a relationship. We just choose to do it. Yeah, we just choose to take it to the intimacy with people that we have no business doing.
And that's when soul ties begin.
Yes.
And you don't want...
What'd you say?
That's not living your best life.
That's not living your best life. All right. Well, in conclusion, like, I know y'all are living your best life. So one of the last questions, what in marriage do you love? We often, you know, y'all said this a little bit too, but I had a friend who just told me, she was like, man, I hear so many people talk about how marriage is hard and marriage is this and marriage is that. Like, is there anything good in marriage? Because she's kind of gotten to the point where she doesn't want to be married anymore. So, like, let's just close this with, like, hey, these are true things, but what's the good about marriage? What is good about marriage?
So, like, even though I was running for miles in the beginning, I do not regret the decision of marrying him, because he literally has become again. And I say again because in high school, he was definitely one of my best friends. But in marriage, like, he has literally become my best friend under God, of course. But that's one thing, is just that I really love, is that we keep the friendship in perspective in marriage. And I think that's also important. And that's because we don't take each other too seriously. And I feel like we're able to really just have fun hanging out with each other. Like, even if it's just at home, watching movies, listening to music, like, we're able to just have fun with one another. And that's one of the things that I definitely say that I cherish about
Shoni the Wop.
About our relationship. And then, like, having our kids around to witness that and see that and see what they can aspire towards as well.
And I would say one of the most beautiful things are seeing your spouse grow. You know what their struggles are. You know their downfalls, things they're not the greatest at. And in putting in the time and the work, you can see them grow as an individual. So overcoming their obstacles that they have in their life, whether it's family things, whether it's, like, you know, it could be something as simple as them being afraid to speak in front of people. And then opportunity comes up and they do it. And you're like, you know, I'm so glad that I was able to pour into them. Because especially as the husband, your greatest disciple is your wife. And so to be able to see your wife grow and to love through, you know, issues and difficulties, like, that's just amazing. So it's one of the things you can't do any other way other than marriage, is really seeing somebody grow into that new person, that new creation, just through loving them. Because you can't change a person, but if you love them, if the man loves a woman right and the wife respects the man right, you find yourself in a beautiful place to just grow.
Man, that was so good. That's so good. I'm encouraged. Man, this whole just episode has been a joy. And just, I, even though I did not get to interview y'all, like, face-to-face, like, and but I also know y'all, but, like, y'all live life. You enjoy your marriage. You seek the Lord. And that's what we would aspire. That's a great example. And so I'm just glad for this episode to come out. I know a lot of people are going to be encouraged. A lot of people will have a shift in mindset. And some people will be, you know, pushed to look at themselves and examine and say, hey, am I making an idol of, you know, the opposite sex? Am I making an idol of relationships? And it, do I just need to go back and spend some time with just me and the Lord? Or on the reverse, am I making life too serious? Is this singleness too serious? Is this marriage too singleness? And am I just missing out on enjoying life? Like, God has called me to live an abundant life. And even in Ecclesiastic, he says, like, hey, everything's been said, the end of the matter. Fear the Lord and obey his commandments. I saw that. Do whatever you want. Have fun. You know, so I hope this encourages people on whatever spectrum they're on in their walk with the Lord. So. Well, friends, thank you so much for joining another episode of Teach Style Live Faith. I was just so encouraged by Maz and Levanshe, and I hope you were too. Remember, you can find many of the notes from the podcast on my blog at adrianmichelle.com. And you can also subscribe to us on iTunes. That way, it'll automatically upload to your phone. You don't have to wonder if you've missed an episode. It'll just be on your phone for you. I would really love it if you would do that. Also, I would love for you to comment. Let me know how this podcast is helping you out in life, how it's encouraging you to continue to live out your faith in every aspect of life. Until next time, bye, friends.